Hi, my name is Azeb. I am from Eritrea, East Africa. I always have my radio tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM. And when I am visiting home, I listen online at www.wbai.org. عوت نحفاش سلامات شمي أزيب بحال كاب إرترائي مبراق أفريقا كل جزية زدامس أو راديو WBAI 99.5 FMU عدخ خيط كاللوخو أبلاين www.wbai.org إسمع.
And you are listening to WBAI New York. In case you didn't understand that, it's 7 o'clock. Time, once again, for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Bum diddly bum for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bum diddly bum!
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you this week, joined by Mike.
Hi.
Dot Rhett.
Hello.
Voltaire.
Hi.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
And Kyle.
Yes, hello, I'm here.
And down in Philadelphia is Bernie S.
Greetings from the revolutionary city of Philadelphia.
I don't know what's so revolutionary about it. You haven't had a good revolution there in a couple hundred years.
Yeah, well, you know, we had one, a good one, and there's others going on around the world now.
Yeah, there is one going on. There's a bunch going on overseas, and I've been glued to Al Jazeera on TV. Oh, that's right. You don't get Al Jazeera on TV here in this country, do you?
We get it online.
You get it online, yes, but if you don't have a line to the internet, then you're out of luck. But good news, for those of you who have satellite, Link TV has announced that they're offering 12 hours a day of their schedule to Al Jazeera English, which is pretty amazing. But still, no cable system around here, no satellite system carries it directly.
I have to say, actually, it's great that they're not on cable and satellite because it makes their internet service all the better, which is good for those of us without cable and satellite.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would their internet service be any worse if they were on satellite?
Can you watch CNN online?
I don't know.
Well, no, you can't.
That might be, just be an American thing, though.
Well, all these channels that you can't watch online, Al Jazeera gets it right online.
I'm sure I could watch CNN online if I chose to. I don't know why I would want to.
You can't go to like CNN.com/watchlive and expect it to work.
Can you go to BBC and watch that live?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. And that's not covered in this country either.
If you're within the UK, you can watch BBC online.
Really? Okay. Well, I'll bet if you're in other countries, you can do things like this. But that's not really the point. The point is that other views are not covered nearly as much, except if you're listening to WBAI, as you just heard now with Robert Knight, you'll hear incredible coverage. You'll hear it throughout the day. You'll hear it from 5 to 6 p.m. You'll hear it from 5 to 6 a.m. where we rebroadcast Al Jazeera, the only place in New York that actually broadcasts Al Jazeera. Tune into BAI and you'll hear all kinds of coverage. I was looking at it earlier today and it was just unfolding right in front of me. The riots or the police-inspired riots in the crowd attacking the peaceful demonstrators, really something to see, kind of tragic, and we don't know where it's going to go from here. It's also amazing because I was talking with Robert about this right before the show, and we realized that Julian Assange was in this studio last March, and I'm looking at an article right now. It's an opinion piece. How WikiLeaks helped fuel the Tunisian revolution. And a lot of people are saying that WikiLeaks had something to do with that, because people in Tunisia were able to see documents showing how corrupt their government actually was, and that helped to fuel the Tunisian revolution. Well, guess what? The Tunisian revolution helped to fuel other similar type actions in places like Egypt and throughout the Arab world. And did you ever think that that mild-mannered guy that walked through the door in March really could be responsible for that much?
I think it's overstating the case to say that.
Oh, of course. It's definitely overstating the case. But we're in America. That's what we do.
No, I think it's possible to say that, that WikiLeaks helped inspire the revolution without saying, this is a WikiLeaks revolution. There's a difference.
And, well, I don't think anyone says the WikiLeaks revolution.
Well,
that does sound kind of catchy.
There are stupid people that say that.
There are stupid people that say everything.
Stupid people with loud microphones.
Well, let's not quote
that's
them.
Not us.
Let's not quote the stupid people.
Yes.
But I think it does underline that the truth can hurt people in power. And if something reveals you to be corrupt or not being truthful with your people, that can come back and bite you. And the hacker world certainly stands for getting the truth out, getting the actual text of certain documents out. So, yeah, I think there's kind of a cultural clash, and it's resulting in some very interesting things.
I think,
Emmanuel.
Go ahead, Bernie.
I just want to say I think it's great that WBAI is off the hook, scooped 60 Minutes by like 10 months by interviewing Julian Assange. He held up pretty well. On 60 Minutes.
Yeah, he was good. He was good on 60 Minutes. I saw him on that, and it was quite good.
I just think, you know, this show really covers a lot of information about telecommunications technology, and I think that is really crucial to what's been going on around the world with these revolutions. I think key, Al Jazeera is now receivable by satellite. People don't need their state telecommunications infrastructure to receive Al Jazeera via satellite to find out what's going on in their region. Plus, of course, the internet and cell phones, texting, and all these different telecommunications technology, I think, played a very key part in making these revolutions possible.
You know, I have to say that, you know, with what I'm seeing going on in Egypt, this just kind of shows how the governments really have, you know, the reasons why they fear a lot of these technologies that gets the information out there. Because when the truth comes out, if you're talking about a lot of these corrupt individuals where they'll preach, you know, one ideology but then do something else behind everyone else's backs.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're actually seeing, you know, what happens when they the people get to see what they're really doing.
And the reaction, too, is also very, very telling. Egypt trying to turn off the entire internet and actually succeeding to a degree, but never enough, because people always find a way to get the word out somehow, and it just looks really, really bad to even make the attempt in the first place.
Well, I think that's why now, I remember, I think, was it the BBC was reporting that that it seems to have come back online at some point today. But
I think one provider.
But one provider is all that was on for most of the time.
Uh-huh. No, the internet came back in Egypt.
All of it came back? All the internet came back?
I don't know, every single DSL line, but it's back.
But yeah, for a while, the CNN anyway was saying that there was only one ISP that was operating.
Yeah, but then they closed that one down, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes pointless after a while to try and shut everything down when the whole world sees that. There's no choice but to restore it and try to reclaim some dignity for yourself.
I don't think it's pointless. I think
it's pointless for them.
They look at Burma. They can do whatever the hell
they want. If Burma had free internet access one day and then they turned it off and had none, there'd be uprisings. People would be trying to get the word out. It would mean something. If you've never had it, like Burma, North Korea, yeah, they've never had it.
No, they did, but they shut it down for like a week during the uprising there.
I don't think they have unfettered access to the internet. I don't think it's...
Yeah, but neither did Egypt.
I think a lot more so than Myanmar.
They had Twitter, and they had Facebook.
I don't see very many tweets coming out of Myanmar, but I could be wrong. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right place. Anyway, point is, you start censoring, you start cutting off access, and it winds up hurting. And this is the kind of thing that we see all the time on the internet when people try and shut up their opponents. They're the ones that always wind up being condemned pretty widely.
And Egypt is an interesting test case now, because now we have this to look back on. When around the same time as all this was going on, Joe Lieberman and the Obama administration were looking at getting an off switch for our side.
That's interesting, because I have a story right here. This is from PC Magazine. with reports of Egypt's government completely shutting down the internet in the country. Talk about an internet kill switch in the U.S. has reemerged. The bill in question is the Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset Act of 2010, a cybersecurity measure introduced in June, last June, by Senator Joseph Lieberman. It was an overarching cybersecurity measure that, among other things, would create an Office of Cyberspace Policy within the White House and a new cybersecurity center within the Homeland Security Department. A provision that got the most attention, however, was one that gave the president the power to authorize emergency measures to protect the nation's most critical infrastructure if a cyber vulnerability is being exploited or is about to be exploited. Now, some have interpreted that to mean that the president would have the authority to shut off the internet at random. Lieberman refuted the internet kill switch assertion as misinformation during a recent appearance on CNN. And the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, which he chairs, later published a myth versus reality fact sheet on the bill. So they're coming back swinging on this as to whether or not this actually is an internet kill switch. Mike?
Can we get a sound effect like a gong or something whenever we say Lieberman's name?
I don't want to give him the attention. Yeah, so
hey,
go ahead, Bernie.
I just wanted to say you mentioned earlier that only one ISP was operating in Egypt, a company called Noor, N-O-O-R. It just so happens that that's the one ISP that serves all the major U.S. corporations like Caterpillar, Nestle, and a bunch of others. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a coincidence, but I think it's more telling is that when Egypt decided to shut down all the ISPs that, you know, the general people use, instead of sitting at home on their computers, what are they going to do? They're going to go out in the streets, and that's exactly what happened.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you don't stay home, you can't be surfing the net online. Yeah, you'd be going out into the crowds. Rob.
And the interesting thing about this, too, was that while their internet was shut off, there was a lot of hacktivism going on this side of the curtain to see about getting them back on. There was a lot of activity coming from Jacob Applebaum, who's been on the show before. His Twitter has basically been a major source of, I think, information about what's going on there and how to use things like packet radio and other things to keep the lines of communication open where they were needed.
And fax machines. I heard there was creative use of fax machines. I don't know if anybody else read about that, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Just like in Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, people find a way. They get the word out.
Absolutely. Dial-up.
And that's right, Bernie. Go ahead.
Dial-up modems. There's nothing. Although Egypt did try to start shutting down phone lines as well once they realized people were using dial-up modem connections to ISPs in other countries. And then they started shutting down phone lines. So, but as you pointed out, it's futile in the end.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Mike.
And one thing that's interesting about all this is that a lot of the censorship and shutting down of services is being done by Western and U.S. companies. One of the big cell phone providers in Egypt, which shut down its network, is Vodafone, which is a huge multinational company, not headquartered in Egypt. The filtering software that Egypt uses, even when the internet's up, just to make sure you can't go to subversive websites, is made by a U.S. company. And you know, the U.S. and Europe have their corporations from these democratic countries have their hands in the, you know, out to receive money from censors. And it's kind of shameful.
It is. It definitely is. I heard rumors that Google was doing good things, though. They were trying to get the word out, trying to bypass the restrictions. Anybody else hear anything about that? No?
Yeah, they have a service where you can call them up and they'll transcribe your tweet.
They'll transcribe your tweet. You can call Google and they transcribe your tweet.
No, they don't even transcribe it. They just post an audio file. Volunteers are transcribing it.
So the thought is that somebody in Egypt is going to call a number there and say they want to tweet something?
I guess this is from when the internet was blocked.
Right. Interesting.
Idea, but it doesn't – I mean, Google could do that with like one employee in an hour. I'm not sure.
Well, anybody could do that. That's the thing.
Well, but Google has like a billion employees, and so if one employee spent an hour on this, I don't know.
Interesting idea.
How impressed I should be.
At least they're trying. That's the important thing. Now, unfortunately, we can't spend the whole hour talking about this because we'd like to, and it's fascinating and very relevant. But this is the first day of the fundraiser for for WBAI, for the winter fundraiser. And in order to have these kinds of conversations and to have programs like the ones that have been covering this crisis throughout the last few days, we need to be able to pay the rent. We need to be able to pay the bills. And we don't have commercials. If we had commercials, then we couldn't talk about any of this because corporations get very nervous. Some of the things we've accused them of in this hour already have gotten them pretty upset. So we need you, our listeners, to give a call to 212-209-2950 and pledge whatever you can afford to keep this place going. What we're offering tonight is something rather unique and different. We haven't offered this before. We've had DVDs from our conferences available in the past in various forms, but we've never had DVDs from three different conferences at the same time. What we're offering tonight is basically two packages. For $75, you'll get 20 of the best talks from Hope Number 6, The Last Hope, and The Next Hope. That's the Hope conferences, Hackers on Planet Earth, took place in 2006, 2008, and 2010, respectively. For a pledge of $125, you'll get 40 DVDs from those three conferences from 2006, 2008, and 2010. 212-209-2950. And we have some excerpts of some of these things that we're going to be playing tonight. I think, yes, go ahead,
Mark. Did you say 40 DVDs?
40, 4-0, yes. 40 for 125.
So that's they're like an hour each.
That's a lot.
And you can just put them in your DVD player and press play and they'll work.
That's the idea, to put them in your DVD player, put them in your computer, whatever it is you need to do.
And so for 40 hours you can learn, you know, some of the insightful things that our speakers have been saying.
It's history. It's history because you have things from 4 years ago, you have things from 2 years ago, and you have things from last year. And it's all relevant. None of it is outdated. That's what's incredible. All right, I want to play something right now. I want to play a piece from our friend Richard Stallman, who is the founder of Free Software Foundation.
And the whole movement.
And the whole movement. This guy is major league. And he spoke to our enthusiastic crowd of hackers back at Hope Number 6 in 2006. This is just one of the 40 DVDs you'll get for a pledge of $125. This is but one of the 20 that you'll get for a pledge of $75. 212-209-2950. Let's take a listen to what Richard Stallman had to say 4 years ago.
So the hacker community and the way we cooperated taught me to appreciate the free software way of life, so that when that community died in the early 80s, I was like the frog that was suddenly thrown into the hot water and jumped out. Other people just took it for granted that when you used computers, you were under the power of the developers. How else could it be, they asked. How could you complain? What else could there be except lords bullying you? I guess they must be like most of the commoners in Europe in the 10th century. What could there be except lords bullying you? The idea that there could be any other way of life never occurred to them. But I've had the good fortune to experience a different way of life, a way of life based on freedom. And when it was taken away from me, I decided to fight. I've always been particularly good at saying no. But when I launched the free software movement, I didn't realize, I launched it in a context of more or less democracy and more or less respect for human rights. I didn't realize how much those things could be destroyed globally, how vulnerable they were. Using computers is just one area of life. It's not all of life. Shocking as that statement might seem coming from me. And when democracy is made a joke by computers in voting machines, by expensive requirements for people to vote, by lying to people, by fraudulently denying them the right to vote, by throwing away their ballots, by not letting them get ballots, what are we going to do? When human rights are trampled arrogantly by a government who then gives promotions to the people who are responsible as a way of spitting at people who value freedom, What are we going to do? I don't know. I can't see much hope for the United States. I can't imagine how the United States can recover freedom and democracy. I certainly can't see how the Democratic Party would do it. But I'm used to carrying on despite discouragement, and that's what I do. There was always a certain tendency for the U.S. government to be too subservient to business. But back in the 60s and 70s, it wasn't that strong. Very often, laws were passed to restrict businesses because lots of people wanted that. And nowadays, though, democracy has become so weak and the media industrial complex so powerful that the U.S. government offers very little resistance to what large companies want. In particular, antitrust law has been nearly abolished. Mergers of large companies happen all the time. And not only that, we see conspiracies of large companies being formed to restrict and oppress the public. Conspiracies such as the one that controls the format of DVDs, the one that implements treacherous computing. And then there is the AACS, A-A-C-S, which is designed to forbid analog outputs for playing video. These conspiracies ought to be prosecuted. All the companies involved with them ought to be prosecuted for conspiring to restrict the public. And such conspiracies should not be allowed to exist anywhere in the world.
And you're listening to an excerpt from Hope Number 6. That was the Richard Stallman talk, which we're offering tonight for a pledge of $75. You'll get that plus 19 other DVDs having to do with the last three conferences that have been held here in New York City with all kinds of hackers, social activists, cryptologists, anarchists, even some conservatives. All kinds of people show up to these things. And it's fascinating. It's the discussions, the question and answer sessions, all included there. 20 DVDs for a pledge of 75, 40 DVDs. You'll get a total of 40 of the highlights of the last three conferences for a pledge of 125. 212-209-2950. I'm told that we must get three calls before we can move on to the next segment. And the next segment is a fun segment. It's actually Social Engineering from 2006. And if you don't know what that's all about, you're about to learn. That's an incredible bit of fun. But we do need to get some calls coming in, especially you new people who have never pledged before. This is a great opportunity to join the WBAI family. Those of you who have pledged before, if you are so inclined to pledge again, I'm sure it was a positive experience for you the first time, then give us a call. This is the first day of the fundraiser, and we need to do well so that we get off on a good start. 212-209-2950.
Yeah, for those of you that pledge, you get to help keep the station to be here for, you know, so that we can continue to bring you this awesome content. And if you've never gone to Hope, you know, again, here's a good way to see what it's all about. You know, whether you're deciding whether you're going to go to the next one or if you just physically can't ever make it, this is a great thing.
What Dotret said is absolutely true. I got introduced to the Hope conferences by listening, and with this package, you're going to actually be able to see some of the talks and what goes on at these conferences, and you get to see the fun that's had. You get to see the visual aids that allow the speakers to illustrate, and it's just a great way to see if it isn't something you might be interested in attending in the future.
We have no calls on the line. As I said, we need to get three calls. Otherwise, we're just going to be asking for three calls for the next 40 minutes or so, and that's not going to be any fun for anybody. I know there are people out there that are curious about what hackers are up to. We were talking before about the incredible effect that just talking about things and revealing things can have not only on your lives, but on the lives of those around you and on the entire world. It's all related. It all ties together one way or another. And that's what makes this package so fascinating and interesting, because you see people doing just that. 212-209-2950, Rob.
And the thing about Hope is that I've been going to Hope for a long time now, I think since the third one, and each and every one of them is an entirely unique and wonderful experience that will never be exactly duplicated again. And if you couldn't be there, or even if you were there, the DVDs are really the next best thing to being there. It's the only way that you're going to get any kind of experience of what went on there and see what we were talking about and what we were doing at that point in history.
They all have different themes. Now, you say your first one was the third Hope. What was
it? Hope 2K.
H2K. Yes, H2K. Yes, and back in 2000. We're talking about the last three Hopes. Hope number six, the last Hope, which wasn't the last Hope because it was followed by the next Hope, and now it's all very confusing. But three Hopes in one package. 212-209-2950. Now, Bernie, you're particularly good at getting those calls to come in. I'm hoping that you can pull it off for us this time.
Well, I think it's just people just find me so annoying they'd rather call and make me shut up. So I hope people do call to 212-209-2950 and pledge to support WBAI, this resource where you're going to hear information and topics and coverage on material you're just not going to hear on any other radio station. And these DVDs we're giving away are a really great gift. I mean, if you're getting 20 discs for $75 or 40 discs for $125, that's like $3 and change per disc. You can watch them all. You can then share them with other people. You can even copy them. We don't care. We just want you to get the information out there. But more importantly, we want you to support this station so we can continue to get this information out there.
Go ahead.
I was struck by what Richard Stallman was talking about, how parallel what he was talking about is to what's going on in the world right now. You have oppressive powers pushing down consumers, and it's very similar oppressive powers in other countries that are pushing down people, and people are saying enough, just like the free software movement that he founded and the hacker community saying enough. And we challenge these powers, and we bring the information to you about what's going on so that you can get involved and help prevent us from just being rolled over like steamrollers rolling over us. It's really important. Please call 212-209-2950 to support WBAI for $75. You can get 20 DVDs, great value. $125, you can get 40 DVDs of fantastic speakers from various Hope conferences. Call now, 212-209-2950.
And I think what might make this a little bit more palatable to people is knowing a little bit more about what we're offering as far as talks. I can tell you, Richard Stallman, we just heard an excerpt of his keynote address back at Hope Number 6. As mentioned, we'll be excerpting the social engineering panel, which is basically an attempt by us, various panelists, to get information out of unsuspecting corporations or people over the telephone, and demonstrations as to how exactly that's done. It's one of the most popular parts of the conference. And you'll get all three of those social engineering panels in the 40 DVD set, 212-209-2950. We also have a Jello Biafra talk, which is always entertaining. If you've never heard him speak, well, we'll have an excerpt of that a little later on, too, time permitting. We have Robert Steele, who was actually our first ever speaker at Hope back in 1994. We have him giving his assessment of the world security stage and terrorism and all that kind of thing. It's really fascinating. We have folks from the Graffiti Research Lab demonstrating what it is they do, and street art and graffiti and all kinds of fascinating things like that. Postal hacking, how to hack into the post office or figure out how the post office is actually working. We have a talk on warrantless searches of laptops at borders. All kinds of things like this. That's only the tip of the iceberg. This gives you a sense as to the variety, the range of talks that we have at the Hope conferences. They're all yours. All 20 of the highlights of the last three conferences for a pledge of 75, 40 for a pledge of 125. But please give a call to 212-209-2950.
And the gifts we give you are one thing, and they're great on their own. But ultimately, when you support the station, the gift you're giving yourself and all your fellow listeners is this station. This is the only way we stay alive over here. This is the only thing we do. We don't sell anything. We don't accept advertising. This is it. We just ask for your help.
Absolutely. 212-209-2950. I'm not sure this thing's plugged in. I'm not sure this. I haven't seen it light up once this whole evening. Now, it would make me happy to see it light up if people call in and stay on and actually pledge money. 212-209-2950. We're not kidding. This is how we stay on the air. If we don't do this, you could very well hear Country 99.5 one day. That's the unfortunate reality. And there is no other way that we can continue bringing you the kind of coverage that you obviously listen to on this radio station. Dorit.
And keep in mind, folks, if, you know, for some reason the internet in the U.S. gets shut down or wherever you might be, you know, you have these DVDs. You can play them anytime you want.
That's right.
You'll have unfettered access to that information.
They can't turn that off, at least not yet. 212-209-2950, Voltaire.
Yes, by watching the DVDs, you'll start a revolution.
Maybe.
We call it the Hope DVD Revolution.
Maybe so. 212-209-2950. Okay, I'm going to move into the social engineering excerpt right now so people can have a sense as to what that's all about. This is what we do every year. Every year we have a Hope conference. We basically try and get people to give information they're not supposed to give out. And it's so easy to do this if you just ask the right questions, if you talk to the right people in the right way. And I think if memory serves, this is an excerpt from 2006, the social engineering panel, where we're trying to I think we're speaking to a McDonald's or some chain. There had been all these power problems in Queens because of severe heat. I know it's great to be playing something involving severe heat on a day like this. And basically, we're trying to pass ourselves off as representatives of the power company and see what information we can get from these poor people and if we can get them to perhaps do something silly for us as a result of us trying to help them. 212-209-2950. Please give a call to that number now and pledge your support to WBAI. Here's social engineering.
So people are gullible. They'll do what you ask sometimes. Let's see if we can find one of them here.
Hello, McDonald's. May I help you?
Yeah, hi. I'm calling from Con Edison to confirm the power problems in your area.
Hold on a second.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, hi, I'm calling from Con Edison. We've received a trouble report at this location.
I'm sorry?
We received a trouble report at this location for Con Edison.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What is your power situation? I'm calling from Con Edison.
So now we're okay, we're fine.
Okay, how long has the power been on?
Well, I understand, manager, but I haven't been here for the whole week. I was on vacation. I just stepped by today. But I believe that the thing happened on Monday. I went to today, so we got the whole thing going on.
Okay, because we have been having scattered outages in your area, and we're trying to check with the businesses there to see if it has been a problem today. Can you tell me what your exact location is?
32-55 35th Street. This is Long Island City, New York. C-code 1106.
Okay. And do you know where your electric meter is located?
It's in the basement.
And will we be able to get access to that today?
Yes.
Okay. And who would we speak to in order to get that access?
Just ask for the manager.
Do you have a name?
Well, you got Lois over here. But if you come after 4, it's going to be Dante.
Okay. One other problem we had is that the phone number does not seem to match the account. Is there a different phone number there?
Yeah, 718. I mean, the same phone number that you just called.
That number is not showing up as part of the account.
Yeah, I think you got 728, something like that. 9727, right?
No, that's not the number we called. Can you tell me what that number is?
No, the only number is the one that you just called. Because we used to have 2 lines before, But the other line, we canceled it out. We only got this one now.
Okay. Would you happen to have access to your Con Edison record? Maybe we could do it that way.
I'm sorry?
Would you have access to your Con Edison billing records? Because we might be able to do it that way, because we can't match your location to the account. That's the problem.
Well, we also got a, you know, office phone number, main office, and they say one in charge of paying all the bills and everything.
Okay.
Maybe they could assist you better with that, because when I got here, we got this, you know, this phone number, the one that you just called. This is the one we're using. I know before they also had a previous one, because this one now used to be the fax number only, and then the other one was to be the operational number, but I'm not sure.
Do you have that number?
Yes, but they open on Monday. 631-698.
Okay. You don't have access to any paperwork, perhaps, from Con Edison? Because that would be very helpful if we were able to actually have an account number or something.
No, I don't, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Let's let us know if there's any power problems or any situations that we should be aware of.
I said right now everything is fine. Okay. While just checking, you know, my face and I was trying everything. I said right now everything is fine.
Are you using 100% of your power?
Yes.
All right. Please do us a favor. If you could possibly cut maybe half of your cash registers just to save some power, it might prevent another brownout from occurring. Would you be able to do that?
The cash register? No. I'm just using like two of them.
I'm sorry?
Because I'm just using two of them. I cannot go under that.
Could you maybe turn some lights out?
No, lights. All the lights out, they off.
The lights are off?
Yeah, the lights are off.
Okay, and how about the air conditioning?
In some of the, you know, the lobby, some of them they're off because some of them they're not working due to the power problem. And just in the lobby is still on, and we cannot turn it off. Where all the customers they're gonna leave.
Well, what I need you to do is this, because it is a rather cool day today. If at all possible, if you could cut the air conditioning building wide, that would greatly increase the chances of another brownout not occurring. So if you could please try and look into that, that would be very helpful.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you. I know. What was your name, sir?
My name is Rafael Pena.
Rafael, thank you so much for your help.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
So, if you'd like a warm McDonald's, you might want to visit 3255 31st Street in Astoria today and see what they do with the air conditioning. I would have liked to have gotten more information out of them, but you know, I think we're dealing with corporate franchises here where they don't actually get the bills themselves. So there's only a limited amount of things you can do, but you can find out things like, oh, where's access? Can I get access? Who are these people's names? What are other phone numbers? And just basically, you got to get them thinking that you're on their side, that you're working with them. And before you know it, you can be kind of obnoxious and say things like, well, I need you to do this for me. It's like, who the fuck are you? Why should I do anything for you? But that's what people do. If you ever have somebody say that to you, you are being social engineered. Cops say that all the time. People in all sorts of positions of semi-authority will say, I need you to do this. Well, it's too bad because I'm not going to do it. Let's try this one.
Okay, we're trying another example here of social engineering. 212-209-2950.
Hello.
Good afternoon. I'm calling from the National Do Not Call Registry. We understand that your number is listed as
what?
The National Do Not Call Registry, so that you don't get telemarketers calling you.
Yes.
We understand that you're listed with that service and that it expires at the end of the month. We wanted to verify that you wanted to continue to be listed.
How do I verify that?
Just by telling us over the phone, and we will extend for another 2 years. Your listing so that you don't get telemarketing calls. That's free. It's a free service.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, you had requested this in the past, hadn't you?
Yes.
Okay. We'd also like to confirm that you don't want to receive any mass mailings in the to your address.
Yes.
Can you confirm your address for us, or we do not send you anything?
No, I can't. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's a smart consumer.
Smart one.
If more people were like that, we wouldn't be having this panel, but I'm happy to say that when we call individual people at their homes, we usually get a better reaction than when we call corporate offices, where they just pretty much give out any information you ask for. Should I try a couple more? We're running short on time.
Is Jell-O here? No? Jell-O what?
Jell-O hasn't set yet.
Hasn't set yet? Escort him out, please. So should I keep trying?
Yes.
All right, I'll keep... Just let me know when to stop. The real trouble is, as the years go by, it's harder and harder to read the damn phone book. My God. Okay, this person has a 917 number.
Hello?
Good afternoon. I'm calling from the National Do Not Call Registry. We understand your number is listed. You do not want to get telemarketing calls?
No, I don't, right.
Okay. The listing expires at the end of the month. We wanted to verify that you wanted to increase that for another 2 years?
Please.
Okay. And we also wanted to ask if you wanted to have your name added to the Do Not Mail list.
I already have that, I think.
Actually, the Do Not Mail registry just began this month, so we need to verify.
Oh, yeah, then add it, right.
Can you verify your address so that we don't send you anything?
What name and address do you have?
We don't have that information. We just have the phone number.
Oh, I see. You just have the phone number.
If you could give us the address, we will make sure that you do not get junk mail.
Okay. It's 205.
Thank you. All right. So not everybody is educated, as you can see. And this is somebody who went to the trouble of not putting their address in the phone book. I should also point out, you know, a lot of you might not realize this. You pay for an unlisted phone, which is really silly. You're paying not to be in the book. You can simply change your name, your listed name, have a funny name, and then when somebody asks for Joe Schmo or whatever, you know they're looking in the phone book. And you can also have the address not listed, just your name, so that people won't get your address out of the phone book. And something else you should be aware of is that even when you do that, when you don't have an address in the phone book, the information operator does have that information. In fact, even when you're unlisted, the information operator can see your address. They cannot tell the person calling what the address is, but they can answer yes or no. Is it this? Is it that? Is it greater than this? Is it greater than that? And we've had many a fun evening tracking down people by having yes-no chats with various operators. Back when information was free, maybe that's why it's not anymore. There are all sorts of tricks to protecting your privacy, but the biggest thing of all is just to be aware to not let yourself get scammed. When people call you on the phone, don't give out information. Call them. And when you know who you're talking to, only give out the information that you feel comfortable giving out. And that's really, I think, the best advice that we can offer.
All right. That is, in fact, advice that we were offering throughout the conference, throughout the last three conferences. I want to apologize to listeners. This device here is not working. In fact, we took a trip down to Tally, and we are getting calls down there. In fact, we're up to, looks like, $620 bucks so far, so
it
that's great.
It's bustling.
It's bustling down there.
Yeah.
And our Tally coordinator is here, in fact. Wow. What do you... Good news from down there?
These are some people that called that we can thank.
All right. Very cool.
There's
a question. What's the question?
They want to know if they get an off-the-hook T-shirt if they get the DVD.
There are no more off-the-hook T-shirts. We told people those are limited edition. Well, the limitation was reached. And no, they don't exist anymore. Maybe someday in the future, but not this day. But, 212-209-2950. We're just playing social engineering, which is basically getting on the telephone and trying to get information out of people and corporations. What we don't do, and you might have heard this in that particular excerpt, we don't give out the actual information. We cut the audio if someone's giving out personal information of any sort. In fact, in that particular case, where that last person foolishly gave out their address to somebody just calling them, we hung up the phone, in fact. So that might make them think twice about doing that in the future. And in that particular case, that was a lot of fun. I remember this now. We were simply going through the phone book looking for people that didn't have their address listed next to their name, calling them and fooling them into giving us their address. Obviously, it means something to them, or they wouldn't have taken it out in the first place. But they were just giving it out because someone called them that sounded like they had some authority and they trusted them. Bad idea, something you should never do, Rob.
Now you mentioned a phone book.
What does this mean?
Do they have these anymore? I see them occasionally. I know they still exist.
Did a book about phones?
It used to mean a lot more than it does now.
I see piles of them in the lobby of my building all the time.
No one ever takes them anymore. And people try to throw them out all the time, too, and they just keep coming back. But online, people can hide their address, too, but it doesn't really work that well if you don't protect the information. And we're trying to teach people how to protect their privacy, what kinds of things will be done to take their privacy away from them. Oh, I forgot, Steve Rambam. That's one very good example. Our resident private eye who will give a very long lecture on how you can protect your privacy in this particular set. 212-209-2950. Again, you'll get 20 DVDs for a pledge of $75. You'll get 40 DVDs for a pledge of $125. Every single one of these DVDs from one of our last three conferences having to do with technology, privacy, consumer issues, hacking of various sorts. It's fascinating stuff. And we find that so many people who didn't actually make it to the conference are simply riveted to the information. We play it sometimes for friends who have never been there, and they vow they're going to go next time. But the information is just incredibly captivating, I think. Mike?
You know, I was looking through the list of talks the other day, and as we selected, you know, which ones would be in the package. Mm-hmm. And I was just struck by how prescient some of our speakers are, you know, from
prescient. That's a $20 word.
Yeah, I'll take $20. You can pledge 20 extra dollars for that word if you want. But from, you know, as many as 5 years ago, the things they were talking about maybe sort of off on the horizon at the time, you know, and really in the focus of the mainstream today, and you'll be able to hear what people were thinking. Just a few years ago, but so much has changed since then. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. You'll get 20 of these talks for $75. You'll get 40 for $125. And really, you should get 40 because there's just so much
to
learn.
40 DVDs, think how long that's going to take to go through them. Imagine 40 of your favorite movies all of a sudden showing up at your doorstep. That's the same feeling you're going to get when you get 40 DVDs from the last three HOPE conferences. Because you know, I can say that there are 40 great talks from the most recent HOPE conference. But some people might not go along with that. They might say, Emmanuel, come on, really 40 in one conference? Okay, fine. Well, then we threw together three different conferences, and we've taken the very best of all three of those. So you know that all those talks are going to be the best that that you'll hear, that you'll be able to see. 212-209-2950. Get yourself tied into the hacker world and see just what kinds of things people have been up to that affect your life, that affect the lives of people around them, affect the entire world in various ways. Voltaire.
Yeah, the Richard Stallman talk alone is worth the price of admission because
he'll be so pleased to hear you say that. You're saying Richard Stallman's talk is worth the $125 alone, and you're right, it is.
I've seen him speak many times, and he repeats what he says a lot. Uh-huh. Like he has like a few different speeches that he repeats. But
well, he doesn't repeat it in the same speech.
Yeah, but this speech was like a unique one because he's the prototypical hacker, so he brought that into the speech, and it's
prototypical.
So
another $20 word there. Yeah, we're full of them here.
I can give a $500,000 word if you want to donate that.
You're not allowed to say that word on
but
the radio.
If people are willing to pledge that, I would be.
212. I don't know. We need it to pay the legal fees then. 212-209-2950. It's really frustrating because we can't tell how many calls are coming in. So there could be 1,000 calls coming in. There could be no calls coming in.
Well, we know there's more than zero because we do have some of the names of the people that pledged.
Let's thank some people, and then I want to play one more excerpt before we sign off for the
night. All right, well, let's thank Nathaniel, who's from Chester, New Hampshire.
Chester, New Hampshire. Boy, you guys are being socked by snow, I'll bet.
Yeah, well, there's nothing to do but listen to WBAI and pledge.
That's a lot to do. That's
a great thing to do, but if we go off the air, you won't be able to do it anymore.
That's right. That's
but you won't be able to watch the DVDs.
Yeah, well, he'd be able to do that if we get him to him before we get the eviction notice, but we won't because we know our listeners are going to call in, 212-209-2950. Keep us going. Keep us on the air. Darrett, you're next.
All right. We have a big thank you to Rich from Ontario.
Okay, let's try to move it a little faster than this because we time is a premium here. It's not the kind of premium we're giving away because we want to play one more excerpt. Voltaire.
We have Eric from Las Vegas.
Just name city. Well, let's go quickly. Go ahead, Rob.
We'd like to thank David from Sleepy Hollow, New York.
That's good. Okay.
We'd like to also thank Ingrid from New York City, New York.
New York City is in New York. I didn't know that.
Me either.
We want to thank M, who's from Bergen op Zoom in Holland.
I saw that movie.
M? Yeah, well, they don't give their full name, just M.
Okay.
But thanks.
Thank you, M.
And also a big thanks to Ken from Queens.
Ken from Queens. Are you out, Volter? No more? Oh, you guys don't? Okay, so that's all we have for now.
And a special thanks to the people who don't want us to tell their name.
Yes, the anonymous bunch. And a special thanks to those people who are dialing the phone right now. We know you're out there. We know it matters to you. We know you care. 212-209-2950. We promised you Jell-O. We're going to give you Jell-O. In fact, Social Engineering was referring to Jell-O. So let's listen to a little bit of what Jell-O had to say. Again, this will come your way for a pledge of $75. And an extra 20 DVDs will come your way for a total of 40 DVDs if you pledge $125. 212-209-2950. Please get those dialing fingers ready. 212-209-2950. Let's listen to Jell-O.
It's just not having to fear, always fear that someone who really doesn't like you and knows all your worst secrets and could break down your door at any time and your life is over, that is what we fought the Nazis and the communists for, to keep from happening so privacy or at least dignity and human rights could stay alive. Whatever the technology, it's important to draw the line in the dirt via the laws on the books that this sort of total surveillance state, sabotage, COINTELPRO, police state stuff on anybody who's against a war is automatically a terrorist. This is not cool. And the only people standing in the way of more and more and more of this is us. There was a lot of discussion at the privacy panel yesterday on whether or not polygraph tests are any good and how to circumvent those. But a lot of employers, oh, those are expensive. They're machines. If you want, they don't need a polygraph test. They just cut off a lock of your hair to test you for drugs. And if you really want to work here, it's understood we even own your hair here. You have no rights at all. And here's the company phone that you will use. It has a GPS thing in it so we can tell where you are at every hour of every day. Parents use locks of hair, too, to send away to mail order labs to test their own kids for drugs and all. But take your Ritalin. You know, if you start getting belligerent, you must have attention deficit disorder. And you know, phones can be tracked, and they have the radio frequency IDs and in your clothes, in the passports, even in library books sometimes. One school district in Sutter, California, wanted to have every kid always have to have an ID badge on that had one of the tracking things in it. Well, that way maybe no molester will kidnap you, but we've kidnapped all of you instead. Basically. And then Sony BMG was even selling CDs to people of popular recording artists without telling anybody. You put that into your computer, there's some little rootkit spyware that gets installed that monitors your Windows media software, and you wonder, where does that info go? Does it help them determine whether you've been file sharing? I mean, if anybody has turned file sharing into a scam, it's the major labels. It's the RIAA, who've sued over 16,000 people now. Even told one woman trying to put herself through MIT and didn't have a lot of money, well, you should just drop out and go to community college so you can pay blood money to your friendly neighborhood major label narcs. Not cool. They've gotten $40 million from these lawsuits. Where has the money gone? To the artists? No. Especially not the independent artists. Grokster shuts down, pays another $50 million blood money to the major labels. You know, if did the artists get any of that? Doubtful. And if the Santa Claus at the NSA being the omnipresent everywhere isn't enough, you'll love Oprah. I mean, she reminds me more and more of Kim Jong-il. Her own picture is on the cover of every single one of Oprah magazines. We have to have our Oprah picture properly displayed in our home or bad things may happen to us. I mean, she's even gone beyond Kim Jong-il and marketing herself as a drug now. a feel-good mood enhancer. If you're down, you just turn on the TV or a DVD or an Oprah magazine. Oprah will soothe you with the answers to all the world's problems. Same time as they claim they're entitled to know more and more and more about us, we're allowed to know less and less and less about them. In 2004, the Bush mob spent $7.2 billion stamping documents top secret. That's a lot of documents. Even classifying documents that had been public for years. So now if you're caught with them and you got it from a library, oh, you're possessing classified documents, off to Gitmo you go. And they even, in the Pentagon, even censored a video on how to help citizens navigate Freedom of Information Act requests, which they all stall on now anyway. And then a while back, a journalist I'd known for years from the music censorship wars called me up and saying she was trying to write a book on FBI harassment of musicians and wanted permission to get my FBI file. Thought, oh, this ought to make interesting reading. Then the FBI got back to her, oh, we don't have a file on him. And we don't have a file on the other one you just requested us for either. And guess who that was? Rosa Parks. So something's being black boxed over there in a very, very, very big way.
Okay, Jello Biafra from Hope Number 6, just one of the 20 or 40 DVDs that you'll get by calling 212-209-2950. Pledge of $75 gets you 20 DVDs, including that particular Jello talk. And a pledge of $125 gets you 40 DVDs, including that talk and 39 others. Listening to Jello, it's always, it's an incredible experience. You never know who he's going to attack next. I wasn't expecting the Oprah thing. That sort of blindsided me. All of a sudden, you know, imagine Oprah driving in her car, listening to the radio, as she's been known to do, and all of a sudden she's being compared to Kim Jong-il. Yeah, that's the kind of thing we get at the Hope Conference. You never know what's going to happen next. 212-209-2950. Voltaire.
Yeah, and talking about how these things come to pass, Oprah has her own cable network now.
She does. Didn't she have one before?
She just started one.
I thought she had one before, or a piece of one, or something. It had an O in it. Oxygen or something like that.
Oh, no, that's different.
Well, she was involved in it. You know what? I don't care. I don't want to talk about Oprah. We've had enough Oprah talk in the last few minutes. But this is the important thing is that people call in and support the station so we can continue talking about non-Oprah things on the station.
Yeah, Oprah-free radio.
Oprah-free radio, yes.
Oh, I don't know. We have so much diversity. Maybe sometimes people do play bits of Oprah, but
we're going to get a letter from her. I know it. I know we are. We always get letters from people after we say things about them.
But not only do we not have Oprah, who you can love or hate, but we don't have any of Oprah's sponsors, and that's really the nefarious bit, and
that
we avoid it all.
That absolutely is. We don't have the Book of the Month thing, but we do have a radio show of the day or of the hour. We have so many different things here on this radio station. Just listening to all the Egyptian coverage alone is worth the price of admission. Not that there is a price of admission, but it's worth supporting the radio station and keeping us on the airwaves, because here we are on top of the Empire State Building, broadcasting to four states just from our radio tower alone, and throughout the world on the internet. It means something. It matters. This is radio that makes a difference, and your call to 212-209-2950 will make a difference to us. It will help us keep going and keep bringing you the programming that you value, that you enjoy. Bernie.
Emmanuel,
yes, go ahead.
You read my mind. You just jumped in on me.
I knew you had something to say.
Obviously, Jello is one of our very popular and entertaining speakers, but at each Hope Conference, there are dozens and dozens of entertaining speakers. And I just encourage you to, if you're listening, you obviously like this stuff or you wouldn't be tuned in. Give us a call at 212-209-2950 to get 20 DVDs of this material for $75 or 40 DVDs of this material for $125, going back through several Hope conferences. It's like $3 and change per DVD. Watch them, give them away to friends. This is a great way to support WBAI and keep yourself entertained for months. 212-209-2950.
And we can't see how many calls are coming in. because that thing is broken. We're going to get that fixed because it's really important to know how many calls are coming in. But I can say we're one call away from going over $1,000 for this hour, and that means a lot to us. So please, if you're on the fence on this, you could make the difference by calling 212-209-2950. Once again, your call and pledge of $75 gets you 20 DVDs from the last three HOPE conferences, Hackers on Planet Earth, including Jello Biafra, including Social Engineering, including Robert Steele and Richard Stallman and so many others. Pledge of $125 gets you 40 DVDs, 212-209-2950. We're out of time, folks. We're out of time, but you're not. You can call us still and pledge your support for the next few minutes to get these DVDs. And we'll see you next week. Write to us, oth@2600.com. Remember, 2600 meetings this Friday throughout the world. Check www.2600.com/meetings to see if there's one near you. And once more, that phone number, 212-209-2950. Good night.
Rastafari. All righty then. You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Also streaming on the web at WBAI.org, and you can pick up the stream of WBAI at pcradioshow.org, and it is 2011, 8 o'clock, and time for the personal computer shoe. Oh, take it away, Hankster.
Welcome to the Personal Computer Show. This is Hank Key, and I'm in the studio with Stevie Deeby. And this is the Groundhog Edition in the year 2011. By the way, did the groundhog see a shadow?
I believe he did.
And what does that mean, if he sees a shadow?
Oh, that's hard. Bad news.
Bad news? I don't know. I looked at the weather this morning, and it was sunny. It was beautiful.
Oh, really? The weather where? Well, part of the world.
I said that to my wife. She said, you know, you're looking at the TV. I was looking at a TV image.
Yeah, of where?
Where?
Yeah, where in the world?
Hawaii.
Barbados?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Yeah, it was beautiful there.
Yeah. Well, listen, this is a membership drive, and this is the Personal Computer Show. And before we start, let me, I do have a preamble statement to make. We've been getting a lot of mail. And we invite any additional mail that may come in to pcradioshow.org. People saying that they have not gotten their premiums. And we will personally, if you were to email us that you have not gotten your premium, we will personally walk it over to the general manager, each one of them, and try to verify whether they have processed it and sent out the premium, or they just forgotten or fell through the crack. But this has been a major complaint, and it goes back to the summer. And I know with the people on other shows, they're experiencing the same problem. And we do apologize, but we do want you to get the premium. Now, we have three premiums tonight, and very simple. It's basically the same thing, and one is still a gold card. Gold card support, it's not a physical gold card. It's a virtual gold card. It's gold card support for $200 for 1 year. email support, phone support if necessary. And we've done other things beyond that where you get high priority processing. And who do we? Oh, Michael, listen, maybe you can expand a little more about our gold card support.
Well, Stevie and I were working on some technical details. I didn't hear the last.
No, very simple. I just said that we have three premiums, and the first premium I talked about was a gold card support.
Oh, well, that allows anyone who can't reach us on the telephone during the half hour a week that we take phone calls to ask their questions or describe their problems to everyone in the group by email,
and,
mostly by email.
Right. And Michael, and I also said that at times we do go on the phone, and we do go out of our ways. Very often we would get a some email requesting help or an answer, and maybe only one of us will answer. And like if Michael answers someone and the person is not a WBAI subscriber, I may have another right answer. In other words, there is never one right answer. There's always more than one right answer. But I would just go on because we have quite a bit of email. However, if you have gold card support, and Michael will tell you, we will all chime in, and very often we may have different answers, but you have a different perspective and you have a wider range of things to consider. Or at times you may find that we're all talking out of the same church or same pew, right?
Very often it's like someone going to another doctor to get a second opinion.
Is David in now?
Right here.
Hi, David. We were talking about the gold card support and explaining what it is. And
hey, David. Good evening.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Good.
Oh, listen, how's the weather where you are? Because I feel miserable right now, and I'm the only one in the studio along with Stevie here.
I'll be in L.A. Tomorrow.
Oh.
You will?
Friday.
You know,
Friday, Stevie, are you busy Friday night in L.A.?
Who knows, man? We can hang out.
Listen, you got to take them where they play jazz music.
I'm going to take them to meet a bunch of magicians, circus clowns, and strippers.
Oh, wait. He's a born again Christian, and strippers he can take, but magic tricks, I don't know.
Well, they need repentance also.
You know, David, I got to tell you.
More than anyone, Stevie.
Last Thursday, we had a 19-inch snowstorm, and I took pictures. I should send you copies of those pictures. It stopped snowing in Queens about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and I shoveled for about 3 hours.
Shoveled what?
19 inches of snow, the entire driveway, the entire sidewalk. I got pictures showing my next door neighbor buried in snow, and I have a whistle clean sidewalk. I got to tell you, it's something to brag about, but my health right now, nothing to. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it.
Well, we're missing this storm. Chicago got 20 inches. We're getting nothing, I understand.
Oh, Lord. I'm so glad that we're missing this storm because of global warming.
Well, it's global weirding, I think. Weirding? It's more appropriate.
Yeah. Well, let me also say that our second premium is our DVD toolkit. We have lots of stuff on there. We have
toolkit, of course, is not the most descriptive word in the world. This is a collection of free software.
Yes, and it's more than just software. There's white papers. There are other things in there. And some of the stuff is old that is no longer on websites. Some of the stuff is new. Some of the stuff are papers I've written. But it's a collection of, you know how it is, you have a, by the way, I use the word toolkit because I remember in the early days, I had these utilities that people would ask me to help them with, and I'd pull out my floppy diskette, okay, of, you know, the standard utilities, you know, and of course, as systems expand, it gets bigger and bigger, and, so what happens is that, now I have it on a pen drive, but, for distribution purposes, it's up to a DVD, and that's over 4 gigs of data. And Michael, is it listed on the website what the programs are?
Yes, although the listing is a few months old, so I don't know what changes you've made lately, but certainly it's 98% up to date.
Okay, good. And how do they find it?
PCRadioshow.org.
And what do they click on?
The button on the left for premiums.
Premiums, okay. And then when they click on premiums, where do they go?
That's it.
Okay,
the website's
good.
Not 18 levels deep.
Okay. That's good. In other words, it's no more than 2 clicks, all right?
2 clicks.
Okay.
Actually, I used one of the programs yesterday. A program you've mentioned on the air many times, SIW.
Yes.
System Information for Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Completely free and portable.
Yes.
It's a single EXE. It has a feature where if you've forgotten a password, you can drag it over the asterisk, and it'll show you the password that's hidden underneath. I actually used that yesterday for someone who didn't know their email password. I used it in Outlook.
Well, there are a couple ways of finding it out, but that's an easy way of finding it out.
It was very easy indeed.
I'm writing this down.
Hey. Hey, listen, with all the help you've given the station, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you that toolkit, David.
Oh,
but the requested donation there is $75. And it's well worth it. A lot of people have ordered it. And by the way, I try to update it as often as I can. And when I update it, I drop off some of the stuff that, because I can't fit it. I can't fit everything on. So I drop off some of the stuff. And people say, I got your latest toolkit, but what happened to such and such? I says, well, those are on older distributions. He says, are they available? I says, not really. I haven't kept really close track of it. He says, ah, darn it. So if you think that, you know, you have that toolkit, don't throw it out, because I know Stevie said to me, hey, can you give me the last three toolkits? Because he knew it was not all the same.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge collection of software.
Yeah. And then we have a single CD. The single CD is a password reset. And we were reluctant to put this out because why would anyone want to know what a password is? Michael, why don't you explain to them?
Well, let's start with the very basics. This is only for Windows computers. This is not for Macintosh machines. And there are three potential passwords that you could be asked for when you turn on a Windows computer. One is a power on password, one is a hard drive password, and the third one is a Windows password. So this CD works on the Windows password.
Right.
I don't think anything works on the hard drive password. And the
well, there is.
Power on password, you have to putz around with the motherboard and take out whatever.
No.
Yeah, you got to reset the
pins. This is for Windows passwords, for people who don't know their Windows password.
Okay. Now, this is, if you've forgotten it, it's not so that you can break into someone else's system, okay? I don't want to be, abetting anyone in breaking into a system. Like very often, someone would call me up and say, I found this machine on the sidewalk. I can't get in. There's a password. You're not supposed to do that, okay? Really,
yeah.
You're not supposed to.
The first thing you're supposed to do is look at it and see if there's a sticker that says, contact me if you find this machine. There's a reward. I would look there first.
Yeah.
Second thing is install Linux on the machine, and the heck with the Windows.
Oh, password. Well, that's blowing it away. By the way, on the DVD toolkit, okay, there is a program I put on there that I actually wound up using recently, Michael. UBCD for Windows, the latest version. And you know what was on it?
No, that CD in and of itself contains like 100 different programs.
More, it's like 270 utilities.
Wait, I want to say something.
Wait, let me tell you what I used it for, okay? To find out the password on power on a machine.
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you could reset or get rid of the password. I didn't know you could learn the password.
Yep. Well, guess what? It's amazing. With 200 plus utilities, I look at it. If it looks good, you know, if it's like, if it passed the smell test, if it's something I use, you know, some of the functions are useful, I put it in. But I have to tell you, I haven't gone through 100% of every function of everything on that toolkit, okay? Yes, David, you were going to say something.
There's too many passwords on everything. Every time I go to a trade show, they want a unique username and password, and some of them won't let me ever reuse a different password or won't let me use the same email address I used.
Oh, wait a minute. David, one day when we start using the iris of your eye, they're going to say, you can't use the same eye over and over again?
There's just a problem here. And I'm security guy. I am Mr. Security.
I have a question, David.
I'm in favor of passwords, but if I go to CES...
Now wait a minute. You know what's been available a long time?
What?
Fingerprint.
Yes, but nobody's using it.
You know, no, I know.
Using biometrics, not here in the United States.
Yeah, it's on some ThinkPad laptop. But
no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is too many applications are running a unique password. Too many applications. Our own product. You go and you buy Trend Micro's product, and you issue a 25-digit serial number to register it, and then it goes, make up a username and a password.
Yeah.
Why? Why? You bought it. You just fed in a 25-digit serial number. People stop demanding passwords and usernames for every little thing because how many do you have?
Because they hope that the password you use is your Social Security number.
No, but the question is, what purpose does it prove to make you make up a username and a password to run the
Well, software? Let me put it this way.
You know, David, I've had the exact same gripe with a software that competes with Trend Micro. Non32 does the exact same thing, and it is annoying as heck.
Well, I have to tell you something. I have at least 12 installed systems up and running that I use on a regular basis at home. I have no password on there. I figure if you're going to break into the house, you know what? Who cares at that point?
Well, system password is one thing, but okay, so you go to...
Wait. We say system password. The only one in the house is my wife and myself.
Right. Listen to me. System password is one thing that I'm not going to talk about right now, okay? What I'm talking about is if I go to a forum that I'm going to talk on, if I want to go to a magician's forum called Magic...